It's good to be here this morning. I am so thankful. Again, you people online, you folks in the church afterwards, be sure to share the services. You know, we preach the truth. And the world needs to hear the truth. Amen. And I want to ask you to try to be in church on both services today. I want you to hear this message this morning. It's a unique message. God been dealing with me on this. And then again tonight, I got one tonight that you need to hear. It'll be a blessing to you and a help to you. We ought to want to hear God's word. Amen. I want you to go, if you got your Bibles, I'm going to give you one verse, though. I'll use this whole chapter as we get into this passage. Go with me to Luke's Gospel, please. Chapter number 15. You're familiar with this great chapter. I call it the lost and found department. You ever want to preach it? There was a lost sheep, a lost piece of silver, and a lost son. And I'm glad that God specializes in the lost and found department. How many glad he found you? Now, I want to help you. You didn't find him. He found you. In case you're confused. But I got one this morning. I've been working on this thing for about a month. Started to preach it last Sunday. It wasn't time. But I want you to see it. Look at Luke 15:11. And what I want you to do, just read it with me. Would you do that? Amen. Just read it with me. It's just one verse. I'm not going to read all of these verses, though I'll deal with this. And I got a unique thought this morning. And he said, now, no, y'all reading? Let's do it one more time. I think you done lost it. Ready? And he said, a certain man has... Let's do that one more time. And he said, a certain man had... Okay. Thank you. Now, how many sons? Okay. That's what I read. But I want to... How many really study? I mean, I try to really study. And I am thankful. I've got books. And there's just, I got, my library is full of books. Right now, most of it's boxed up because of what happened. But I did a lot of, I read some commentary on this passage. And one certain commentator mentioned something. How many's ever heard of Samuel Chadwick? Nobody? Lord, am I the only one knows Samuel Chadwick? He was that great revivalist who was born in 1860, died in 1932. He was a Wesleyan Methodist revivalist. And that was at a time when, you know, they really preached the Word of God. The Methodist Church went a long ways away from God, but I want to tell you, they used to preach the Word of God. And I was fascinated in this commentary. And I looked him up, by the way. And he has some great books on prayer. I got them in my library. But there was a statement in a commentary that said this. Samuel Chadwick preached on three sons. Now, I asked the church, how many sons? What's mentioned? Say it loud. Oh, there are more than that there. I think this morning, by the help of the Holy Ghost, you old folks, you young people, you ain't used to paying attention to this because you won't even have an idea what I'm talking about, but go ahead and pay attention to it. When I was a boy, there was a movie on, or a show, or a TV show. How many remember it? You're old enough for that because you just caught me in age. You're 71 if you didn't want to tell anybody. That's how old I am. Lois is the same age as I am. That's all I'm going to say. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and said, wait a minute. maybe you need to dig in this scripture close. So I just started studying. And by the way, I found out, and by the way, I looked for his sermon. It's nowhere to be found. I can't find it. It's hidden somewhere, or they just never printed it. I couldn't find it. But that thought hit me, and it started working in my soul. And when I really got a hold of this, dear God in heaven, it really grabbed a hold of me. So what I'm going to preach on today is my three sons, or the three sons found in this passage. Number one. Now you know who the two sons are. How many know who the two sons are? Number one, it was the prodigal son. And then number two, it was the elder brother. Amen? Everybody's familiar with that? Amen? Let me give you three things. I'm going to delve right into the message. And I'll use this passage of scripture. Let's talk first of all about the prodigal son. I call him the son of greed. Am I right? By the way, can I say this to you? If you go look in your concordance, the word greed is not found in your authorized version, anywhere in the authorized version. The word greed. Now the word greedy, the word greediness, the word greedily, they're all mentioned. But there is a synonym that is mentioned in the Word of God about greed that you are familiar with. And that is the synonym covetousness. The Bible says, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Somebody help me preach. Psalm 119 says, incline mine ear unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Luke 15 says, take heed and beware of covetousness. Mark 7 said, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, and pride, and foolishness. And this prodigal son was a foolish, wasteful individual. Somebody help me preach. Amen. It's indicated by, there's three things that I see there that tells me he was greedy and that he wasted his whole life. I've been preaching now for nearly 50 years. And it bothers me. I see people who are living their life for the world, the flesh, and the devil. And all they want is things. All they do is covet. All they want is what the world offers. And they end up their life sad and bankrupt without God and without hope. Am I preaching? Let's look at this prodigal. First of all, we see his greed indicated in his request. Look in verse number 12. How many have your Bibles? Just follow me today. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And he divideth unto him his living. Now, how many of you believe with me? It's real easy to see. This old boy was covetous by his request. He went to daddy and said, Daddy, he's just a young guy, about 18, 19. His brain is full of air. Somebody help me preach. There's a lot of young people today and young adults today and moms and dads today that there's air running in there, but there ain't nothing there. Somebody help me preach. He was a mess. And he said, I want it all right now. I want my inheritance now. Can I say something about this younger generation? It really bothers me. They want everything their parents have now. Instead of having to work as their parents did to get it. We are living in a handout entitlement society. We're living in a greedy, dog-eat-dog society. Somebody help me preach. It was indicated. How you seen folks like that? It was illustrated in verse 13 by his righteous living. Look at it. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey in a far country. And there wasted what? His substance with righteous living. He wasted it all. By the way, you give people too much too early, it'll mess them up. Am I preaching? That's what's wrong today. We hand our kids everything. There's some kids, they get at the Christmas tree, and there's about 13 gifts, and they open the 13 gifts, and here's their response at the end. Is that it? That's the way people are with life. They just keep wanting, and then keep wasting. Somebody help me preach here. I'll tell you what they'll do. I'll tell you what that kind of wealth and that kind of stuff will do to you, and you wanting everything. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to waste your life. You're going to mess your life up. You're going to ruin. Somebody help me preach here. You're going to get so low that you can't get up. You'll live a lower level. I remember I won a man to Christ years and years ago. I loved him. And God blessed that man. I mean, blessed him to where he was making literally multiple hundred thousands of dollars a year. And he wasted it all. He had at one time a $2,500 a week drug habit. He drank and wasted his life. Messed everything up. And I want to tell you, here's what's going on in our country today. People are living a lower level. By the way, God's got a higher level you can live. He said, I came to give you life and it more abundantly. And you don't have to live like a dog. You don't have to have a needle in your arm. You don't have to social drink and act like a fool. You can have real life in Christ. Amen. Then it was illuminated by his ruin. Look at 14. I'm just going down the Bible. And when he had spent all. Here's the problem with people. They know the price of anything. But they don't know the value of nothing. They know everything about what the price is. But they don't know the value of nothing. You know, there's some things that are better than gold and silver. There's some things that are better than money. I want you to know what they are. Happiness. Peace. Joy. Having a fruitful life. Having a happy life. Having a great marriage. Having great children. Doing right for God. Somebody help me praise. Yes. And my Bible said, verse 14, he began to be in want. I like this verse. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. That word want means to. He wasted it all. Here was his philosophy. And don't you think I don't see it even in the churches today? Get. Instead of give. By the way, there's a forgotten beatitude in the book of Acts where it said, our Lord said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Hey, I want you to know something. If all you're thinking about is the next car and the next house and the next watch and the next this and the next that, there'll be a day it'll run out. You'll be wasted. And by the way, you'll be a son of greed, and your life will be ruined, and you'll be helpless and hopeless. Amen. Am I all right? Let me get off that real quick. Because I could see some of y'all starting to get nervous. I will say this, Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my favorite writers, said twice, talked about, it was twice mentioned Psalm 42, Psalm 43. This statement's mentioned, why is my soul disquieted in me? Why is it people are trying to get everything, but they live such depressed, sad, pathetic lives? I'll tell you why. You cannot get by happiness. You cannot buy joy. Secondly, I must hurry. I'm bogging down. But there's a second son here. I call him the elder son. But I call him something else. And I want to touch on this subject this morning. He's what I call the son with a grudge. The first one was a son of greed, and he wasted his life. The second son is a son with a grudge, and it ended up causing him to be wicked. I want to tell you what. I see it in church, and it breaks my heart. I see people get grudges, even in church. And they never let them go. And it literally ruins their life. You said, what happened? Look at verse number 25. Let's look at this guy real quickly. Let's talk. You said, what is a grudge? It's a deep-seated resentment or ill will or malice towards someone, or to hold a grudge. My Bible says, grudge not one another lest you be condemned. The judge stands at the door. I want you to know, how many knows who the 17th president of the United States was? 1, 2, 3, 4. Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson, if you ever study him, was one of the most bitter, resentful guys with a grudge. And he hated Ulysses S. Grant so bad that when Grant got voted president and they had the motorcade and the inauguration, Johnson wouldn't even ride in the same carriage with him. Well, it's quiet in here. I know people that have grudges toward their family. Are you one? I know people that got grudges in their home. Are you one? I know people that have grudges in church. Hey, by the way, if you're bad-mouthing somebody, you've got a grudge with them. And why do you need to tear somebody down to build yourself up? Am I preaching? Communities, I see grudges in communities. Hello? You people, how many's ever been to Beckley and saw some of those outdoor dramas? Wave at me. There's a one I really love. I went years and years ago. I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but it was wonderful. The Hatfields and McCoys. How many remember that? Do you know what that thing's all about? It was about a grudge. I wonder how many here this morning, you got a grudge towards somebody. If somebody did something you didn't like, and you still down in your soul have a grudge on them. That's what this boy did. Look at verse 25, all the way down to verse 29. I'll read it, you'll see it. Now the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. Oh, you hear it? And he heard the music and the dancing. Here's what happened. The prodigal came back. And the elder son heard all the noise and all the laughter. And he called one of the servants and asked him what it meant. And they said, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. Thou might make merry with my friends, but as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured his living with harlots, thou hast killed him the fatted calf for it. Wait a minute, I've been good all this time. And here he comes, he's been laying out with the prostitutes, been laying out with liquor, he's been out there and eating the swine. I want you to know what he had. How many agree with me? He had a grudge. Now I must hurry because I want to get to the last point. First of all, he had an inflated view of himself. By the way, you ought not ever talk to your father like that. I'm just going to preach this morning. Some of you young people, you better listen to me real quickly. The worst thing you can do in life outside of rejecting God is to be disrespectful to your parents. Am I preaching? And I'll tell you one word that would get a whipping in the Smith house. It was the unpardonable sin word. No. No, I ain't doing that. By the way, I had something that would convince the no to become a yes. I know. Hey, by the way, today they put me in. They call me an abuser. I just did what Proverbs said, and they call me abusers. I know some of you little liberals in this church, that and you little flamers say, well, we should not whip our children. That's, you know, we're living in a different system. Well, listen to me. The Bible taught it. Amen. Amen. I didn't mean to preach on that. I'm sorry. But there's a lot of rebellion and disrespect, and young people, you ought not to do it. And then he had an insignificant view of his brother. He when the father came out in verse 30, he said, thy son. Wait a minute, he wasn't just his son, he was his brother. By the way, I went through this in my life. I had some family members that wasn't quite what they ought to be. Well, downright arrogant and mean. But I'm going to tell you what, I tried my best to love them and be kind to them and have the right attitude toward them. And I wonder why he knew that his brother was in such bad shape. I think maybe he had done a little himself. Somebody helped me preach. Then he had an inadequate view of his father. He had a grudge. What do you mean he had an inadequate view of his father? Look at verse number 31. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He said, listen to me, son. I really want to get this across to you, that yes, your brother got his inheritance, but what you're not understanding, what I have and all that I have is yours. You got it all. Yeah, your attitude toward me is like a rebel. And I want you to know something. You don't have to be like the prodigal out there drinking and in the swine, with the swine. You can just have an arrogant, grudgeful attitude. Amen. And God's not pleased with that. Amen. And that's just as wicked. Amen. as the prodigal. And I'm glad I'm not finished that sermon on that. What's the solution to wastefulness and wickedness? Is there any hope for those two boys? Well, I better talk, Rich, on the third side. I don't know if y'all saw him or not. I don't know if you found him or not. I found him. I really did. Did you find it? Oh, I know he found you, but did you find him? Oh, I found him. Look at verse 11 again. Boy, I'm about to. Can I run a little bit?
Amen.
Listen. We had the son of greed, right? The son with a grudge, right? Hey, there's people in this church with grudges. I see what you say on Facebook. You live with a grudge. Look what it says. And what? Well, who's he? Who's he? That's a pronoun there. And that he? We got the son of greed. We got the son with a grudge. But aren't you thankful when we've wasted our life and we're wicked that he there was the son of God? I'm glad that even though we are wicked and wasteful and we ruin our life, I am glad that there's a Son of God who is the Son of grace that comes where we are and rescues us from our sin and our debauchery and brings us into his fold. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Woo! He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The Bible said he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. Let me show you three things real quick. Look at verse number 5 in verse 15. Verse 4. And when what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Woo! How many's glad that our Savior is a seeking Savior? I want you to know there wasn't nothing about you wanted God. You didn't want God. You didn't understand God. But I'm glad I didn't find him, but he came looking for me. I was that old lost sheep out there in a mess, and he came looking for me. In this passage, he found the lost sheep. He found the lost silver, and they found the lost son. I want you to know something. I got a God this morning. He's been wanting you saved. He's been seeking for you to be saved. He loves you so much this morning. He's been knocking on your heart door week after week, month after month. And he's saying to you, come unto me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Good
preaching. I want to tell you what else. He's also a shouldering God.
Amen.
You know what he does? Woo! He got that boy or got that sheep and put it around his neck. You see, Preacher Smith, you ever seen that? I've seen it. I was over in Israel, in Bethlehem. And there's a little boy with a little tiny sheep there. And you charge $1 to allow you to pick that sheep up and put him around your neck. You remember that, Allison? Oh, yeah. You were in that trip. And I got that sheep, put him around my neck, and got a picture of me. And I thought when I had that sheep around my neck, that was what God did to me. I was so helpless and I was so hopeless. I was so far gone. But Jesus came to where I was. He came to the bars. He came to where you are. And he picks you up and shoulders you because you don't even have strength to come to him. But he'll bring you to a place where you need him. Am I preaching? I'm almost done. I'm closing. And then he's a satisfying God, Son of God. Bible says, I say to you, likewise their joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which have need of no repentance. I want to tell you what. You don't have to spend your life with greed and wickedness and with a bad attitude. I got a God that can satisfy you. Man, I'm satisfied this morning. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I got a great wife. I got great children. God's blessed me so much. I'm so satisfied with it. I don't have a want for nothing. God's been saved. Somebody help me praise Him. Lois, you come and get ready to sing. I don't know if you know this song, Lois, so if you don't, you might know a part of it. I'm sure you do. In the days of George Whitfield, how many's heard of George Whitfield? There was a young man came to the crusade and surrendered his life to preach. His name was Robert Robinson. How many's ever heard that name? Anybody? Come on now. Nobody? Well, you've heard it, but you just don't know you heard it. After he got called to preach, he fell into sin. And he went and backslid. And he was with a lady who was talking to him about God and about God's grace. And Robert Robinson repented of his sins and came back to the Lord. And he wrote this song, "Come, Thou Fount of Many Blessings." And in that song somewhere, Lois, I think it says, we're prone sometimes to wonder. If you're in this room this morning, maybe lost and undone, you've wandered too far. It's time to stop. It's time to come to God. Because see, that third son, the God of grace, is here this morning. If you're here in a Christian, and you know you're not living right, and you know you're not living right, and you know you've got things in your life that is not pleasing to God, and you're wondering, it's time to come home. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. How many would tell me, Preacher Smith, I know that I know if I die today, I know I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand if you don't. Hold them high. Thank you. How many right now say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. But before I die, before the Lord comes, I want to know. And I'm concerned about it. How many right now just raise your hand and say, I'm not saved. I want you to pray for me. Slip it up. I'm just not saved. Thank you for that hand. Somebody else. I'm not saved. Come on. Slip it up. You that's getting baptized, come on, get ready. Come on out. Come on, I'm not saved, preacher. Now I wonder, how many Christians in this room will be honest enough, say, yes, I'm saved, but I'm not where I should be with God. Preacher, I got too much flesh in me right now. All I'm living for is what I think, this things of this world. And I know I'm not right with God. And I know my attitude's not right. Preacher, pray for me. How many Christians in this room know you're just not where you used to be with God? Slip your hand up and pray for me. Yes. Preacher, I'm not where I used to be with God. Come on. Come on. Come on now. Amen. Somebody else. Yes. Yes. Come on now. Oh, you remember a time when you were closer, don't you? You remember a time when you were on fire before God, don't you? Will you stand with me right now? And I would if you would. If you're a saved person and backslidden or away from God, will you come? If you're here lost and undone, please come. Our Father, Lord, thank you for your grace. Lord, touch this people. And help this people. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?